that devotion. I was noticing, well, Lord bless me, and Kevin was reading in Psalm 95, in his hand are the deep places of the earth, and that's something to really think about, as he said. But then when he came to verse 7, we are the sheep of his hand, that same hand, the same hand that holds the deep places. We're in his hand. And that just kind of stuck with me as Brother Kevin was reading those scriptures. God is good, and he is good no matter what he does, whether it pleases us or not. He is good. Psalm 23, we've been looking at verse 5, my cup runneth over. We've seen that our cup ought to run over with humility, contentment, joy, gratitude. And if we live Psalm 23, we will live life overflowing with humility and contentment, joy, gratitude. The next thing we want to mention is wonder. A heart overflowing with wonder. I believe often, I just speak for myself, we have a tendency to lose our wonder. Things can become so familiar, we become so accustomed that we lose the wonder. Prayer. We ought to pray every day, and as we do, we become accustomed to praying. But if we're not careful, we lose the wonder of it. We just do it, reading the scriptures, coming to church, on and on we could go. But our heart ought to overflow with wonder. In Matthew 14 and in Mark chapter 6, we see that the apostles are caught in a fierce storm. You remember Jesus walks on the storm-tossed waters. He says, it is I. Be not afraid. Be not fearful. Peter said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come unto thee. And perhaps Peter didn't realize what he was asking for. And the Lord called for Peter to come. To Peter's credit, he stepped out of the boat, which was a huge step of faith. God worked a miracle, and he actually walked on the water toward Jesus Christ. But on the way, we know that he took his eyes off of Christ. He was diverted, distracted by the storm, got his eyes upon the stormy waters. Immediately he begins to sink. Begins to go under. And again, to Peter's credit, he cried out to the Lord. You're beginning to sink, that's who you need to cry out to. And he could have cried out to the apostles, but guess what? They weren't getting out of that boat. And so it wouldn't have done them any good. Cried out to the Lord. And we know the Lord took him by the hand, saved him from drowning. And then Peter and Jesus together walked on the water back to the ship. Jesus stops the storm. And in Mark 6, verse 51, it is recorded of the apostles, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. An amazement filled them within. Now notice, they were sore amazed in themselves. That is, they were struck, they were filled with awe, with fascination. And this was beyond measure. And as they hadn't felt this before. There was nothing to compare it to. It was immeasurable. It was beyond calculation. It was immense. It was abundant. They were filled with wonder. We see the same with David here in this 23rd Psalm when he says, "My cup overfloweth," or "my cup runneth over." It's an expression of wonder. It's an expression of amazement. What was it that caused David's cup to run over with wonder? Well, he'd been focusing upon the Lord. That's the key. We focus upon God. We focus on a lot of things that we shouldn't focus on. Again, I speak concerning myself, but I believe it's true of all of us. We very easily become wrongfully focused. And when we do, we lose our wonder. David's focused on the Lord. He's overcome with amazement. And what's he focusing on in Psalm 23? The Lord, but he's focusing on the Lord working in his life, what the Lord does in his life. And he's filled with wonder. He's filled with admiration. He's filled with awe concerning who the Lord is, concerning what the Lord has done in his life. And he declares, "My cup runneth over." I believe wonder is something we ought to pray for. We ought to pray that God would fill our hearts with wonder, with amazement, with awe. I often, when I read the scriptures, try to see the tone of what is being written. And many, many, many scriptures, no doubt, are written with a tone of wonder. The scriptures that Brother Kevin just read were written with a tone of wonder, tone of amazement. Notice in Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm would be an example of a tone of wonder. He begins by saying, "O Lord," that very first word, "oh," it's exclamation. It's a note of exclamation. It's a note of wonder. "O Lord, our Lord." There's wonder there. "Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Can anyone deny that those were words written with wonder, with a tone of wonder? He goes on and he speaks of the greatness of God. He says, verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers," work of thy fingers. And think about that. We saw the hand of God. The fingers are just a part of that hand. Just a part of it. I'm not saying they're insignificant, but they're part of the hand. And the heavens are the work of his fingers. That's amazing. That should fill us with wonder. The moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. A work of his fingers. What is man that thou art mindful of him? That's a question, but it's a question, I believe, asked with a tone of great wonder. And goes on to describe man, and then he ends the psalm in verse 9 the same way he began. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He's filled with wonder. That's a psalm of David. David's filled with wonder. You see it all through the Psalms, perhaps more there than any other place, this tone of wonder. We see it in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Are those words spoken in a tone of discouragement? No. They're spoken in a tone of wonder. And he goes on throughout that 46th psalm. And there's wonder all the way through it. He says in verse 4, there is a river. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. Again, there's that tone of wonder. You think of the 139th psalm, and David is meditating upon the omniscience, the omnipresence of the Lord. And all through that 139th psalm, there's that tone of wonder. He says, thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. That's a tone of wonder. Thou hast beset me behind and before. He says in verse 6, concerning everything he said up to that point, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That is, it's beyond measure. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians, he said that he was caught up in the third heaven. That ought to be an experience of God's people. It means that what he was experiencing was just too wonderful. It was more than he could contain. And he's caught up in the third heaven. We ought to pray for wonder, that God would cause our hearts to overflow with wonder and amazement. Because I guarantee you, when our wonder wanes, we've lost our spiritual edge. Guaranteed. And wonder does wane. We get so accustomed. I believe we even get so accustomed to being saved that we lose the wonder of being saved. But a cup ought to overflow with wonder. When we think of the fact, as Brother Kevin was just speaking, that he is God. I mean, just think of God. That ought to fill us with wonder. Again, I don't want a God that I can fully comprehend, because he'd have to be mighty small. We want a God that we cannot fully comprehend. We want a God that we look at him and we're just amazed. We're filled, our cup overflows with awe. In Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah 45 and verse 22, the last part of that verse. Well, let's just read the whole verse. Look unto me. How many times has God spoken those words to you and I? Look unto me. Look at me. We say that to a little child. You're trying to get a message across. We'll say, look at me. God does the same thing. He says, look unto me. And then the end of the verse, he says, for I am God. Look at me. That is, give me your attention. I am God. That ought to fill us with wonder. That ought to stop us in our tracks. I am God. And there is none else. That is, there's no one to compare to God. It's frightening when a preacher or someone makes an earthly comparison to God. That's frightening. I almost want to stand up and say, you need to stop right where you are. You're about to blaspheme the Lord. There's nothing to compare. Isaiah 46 and verse 9, he says, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. He excels all. Creation fills us with wonder. David, in the Psalms, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. I picture him looking up to the heavens and he's amazed at creation. He's amazed at what he sees. But he doesn't lose sight of who put it there. He says they declare the glory of God. And there are amazing things in creation. Beautiful things. Things that just fill us with wonder. But he excels it all. He made it. Spoke it into existence. Formed it with his fingers. He excels all. All the wonder that ought to overflow our soul. He has no rival. It's blasphemy today to put Satan and God on equal level. He has no equal. There's a whole system of theology that puts Satan, God, and man all at the same level. He's unsurpassed. He's above and over all. Possesses dominion over all things. He's in absolute control. Well, then why does God do? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why God does a lot of things. I don't need to know. All I need to know is he's in control. He has dominion over all things. These people insist on, well, I need to know. What they want is a God small enough that they can put in their pocket, that they can understand. There's nothing wrong when someone says, well, why does God... I don't know. He's too great for me to fully understand. Why? I don't know. He manages, he directs, he guides, he governs all things. I believe that with all of my heart. Can I explain it all? No. But I believe it. He's absolute sovereign. Psalm 96:10, Psalm 97:1, Psalm 99:1, Psalm 103:19 says, the Lord reigneth. Again, that's not spoken in a tone of depression. That's spoken with a tone of wonder. The Lord reigneth. Psalm 103:19 says, His throne ruleth over all. Rules over all things. No matter what happens, there's the throne of God, and he's almighty, he's all-knowing, he's everywhere. explain how God, without division, without multiplication, without addition, can be everywhere at the same time. You can't. It's too great to understand. Explain His eternity. You can't explain it. Well, before the beginning, He was. Well, explain that. You can't explain it. You just have to believe it. And it fills us with wonder. When you think of the fact that He's holy, He's faithful, He's gracious, He's merciful, He's perpetual, He's infinite, He's immutable, it fills us with wonder. He towers above all. Again, there are many verses. Kevin read some of them about the greatness of God. The greatness of God. That's a word that is misused all the time. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's awesome. Somebody bites into a hamburger. Oh, this is awesome. You don't know what you're talking about. A hamburger is not awesome. Food is not awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Oh, the wonder that ought to overflow our soul. When we look at our lives, and that's what David is doing here in Psalm 23, and we see the power of God in our lives. We see the wisdom of God in our lives. Just look at your life and behold the wisdom of God in the way your life is. It ought to fill us with wonder. The grace, the mercy, the love, the loving kindness, and one of my favorites, the long suffering, the patience of God is a thing of wonder. I mean, it's just too marvelous. Patience of God. The guidance of God. How God guides our lives. Which goes, I guess we could put under the heading of His wisdom. How many times God in our life has sweetened the bitter waters? You say, oh, but He's also made bitter the sweet waters. Yes, He has. But all the wonder that God can take the poison and sweeten it. How many times God has been a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest and rivers of water in a dry land and shadows in a weary land? How many times God has been that for us? How many times God has opened rivers in high places? You don't find rivers in high places, but God can put them there. Makes the desert a fountain. Or makes the desert a pool of water. Puts fountains in the valleys. How many times He's made the crooked straight in our lives? How many times has He smoothed rocky roads and held our hand? How many times God has come along and just held our hand? How many times God has come along and carried us and has led us to green pastures and still waters, and has led us in right paths? And how many times God has restored our soul? When we look at our life, it ought to fill us with wonder. God is good. God has been good to each one of us, and we ought to overflow with wonder and stand in awe at the thought of His person. What He has done and what He is doing in our lives. Psalm 4:4, Psalm 33:8, Psalm 119, verse 161, I believe it is, all speak of awe toward God. Psalm 119 speaks of all toward His Word. But those who live the Psalm 23 life, I mean, you experience these things. You personally experience them. Again, people read the 23rd Psalm all the time. It's probably the most read passage of Scripture in all the Word of God. Many lost people can recite it, but they don't know what it means. They haven't experienced it. But you and I that have experienced what David writes here, our cup ought to overflow. Our cup ought to run over with wonder. When we live in Psalm 23, we're able to walk through the circumstances of life with overflowing wonder at the goodness of God. So you see, when he says, "My cup runneth over," what he's saying is everything I've said in Psalm 23 has made an inward impression upon me. That's what David is saying. All of this has made an inward impression upon me, and I just overflow. It just comes out. So all that we can say with David, "My cup runneth over with wonder." Which leads us to the next thing, which we'll get to next week. It is a heart overflowing with praise. These things go together. Where there is humility, contentment, there will be gratitude, there will be joy. There will be wonder, and where these things are, there will be praise. You don't have to manufacture praise. It ought to be spontaneous. And it will be if our hearts are filled with wonder. It'll just be spontaneous. My cup runneth over. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do fill our cups, fill our souls, fill our hearts with wonder. Lord, we just thank you that you are a God that causes great wonder, causes great awe. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us this day. Lord, that you would show yourself. Fill us, Lord, with thy wonder. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this psalm. And we thank you, Lord, that we can live what is recorded. We can live and experience what is recorded here in this psalm. Lord, we pray that you would be with those that are lost. Open their hearts to salvation this day, Lord, that you'd reveal yourself to them as their only Savior. Lord, that you'd save their soul this day. Draw us each closer to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.